Hello and welcome to the second episode of The Ordinary Knitter. As the podcast is new, I'm going to get two or three episodes fairly close together just to give both me and the listeners a feel for how it's going to be so that you can decide if it's something you want to keep listening to and I can decide if it's something I want to keep doing, but I'm really enjoying it so far, so I think I will. So my aim longer term is to have one 20-minute episode every week, but we'll just, you know, stash a few together just now just to get it going. I mentioned in the last podcast that I've been casting around for something to make for a friend who's having a baby. I mentioned in passing that I had settled on a starfish cloth, I called it, in the last podcast. Its proper name is the Baby Starfish Cloth by Elaine Fitzpatrick, and it's a free Ravelry download. I'm able to do this from my stash, as I mentioned before, and I thought there might be some value in just mentioning the yarns. I'm calling myself the Ordinary Knitter because I don't use particularly highfalutin yarns. I mean, I wouldn't turn them down, but I don't seek them out. Generally, I can't afford them. And another issue, which just in passing does affect the yarns I choose, is that I don't get on very well with lanolin. I can't wear wool myself, and although depending on the yarn I do sometimes knit with yarn that has part wool, when I mentioned in the last podcast that I often make socks for my husband, he's absolutely fine with wool. He has a completely bulletproof skin. There is just nothing he can ever wear, eat, touch, roll in that will set his skin off, and I am very much the opposite. So when I look for sock yarns for him, and that has recently tended to be Regia, I'll often get one that's got part wool because I know that he'll prefer that, and I don't seem to have any problem. But then, you know, hands go through so much, don't they, day to day, that I think my hands are probably quite desensitized by now. So I'm going to use some of my stash for this washcloth. The main yarn I'm going to be starting with is a King Cole yarn. It's King Cole Big Value Recycled Cotton Aran. I happen to have it in, I'm going to be using for this project, I'm going to be using Cornflower, which is a lovely shade of light blue. And I bought mine mail order from Wool for Less. That's Wool numeral for Less. I think they're based in Wales from memory. And it was £3.15 for 100 gram skein. I like the fact that it's recycled. It's cotton, you know, nobody reacts negatively to cotton. It'll feel nice against the baby skin, should be reasonably hard wearing. I also have in my stash a skein of that same yarn in a shade of pink called Blossom. I bought that in order to make the Punk Rock Backpack. This was a project I did jointly with my mother. She's incredibly skilled with needle and thread. So this is the Punk Rock Backpack is a small, fairly simple style backpack. Hasn't got all sorts of extra pockets and straps and this and that. It's a one zip backpack with fixed straps, and we did this together as a project for my daughter. So I did the knitting and my mother set in the lining and also the zip, which I would never have touched in a million years. I mentioned briefly in the last episode that we all have our knitting bogeymen, and I'd quite like to talk about that a bit more in future episodes. But for me, I really am hopeless at sewing. I don't enjoy it. I can do name tapes, I'll catch up the odd hem, I'll, you know, sew on a button, but actual sewing for pleasure, well, the words just don't go in the same sentence for me. It's an absolute chore. But my mother's great at it. She really enjoys it. She's a qualified sewer, an embroiderer, and she's very happy to do the things that involve a needle. So it was the ideal joint project for us, a knitted bag with a lining, a fabric lining and a zip. And I searched high and low for a lining material and eventually found a very pretty print of multicoloured elephants. There you go. I found this project in a book that I was given by my stepdaughter called, it's called Stitch and Bitch by Debbie Stoller. But it is also on Ravelry, and although Stitch and Bitch itself is by Debbie Stoller, it includes many contributed patterns, and the punk rock backpack is designed by Heather Barnes. In the book, there's two different, the main bag is one style, but there are two different decorative patterns. One is a monkey and one is a cat, and my daughter chose the cat, but she wanted it in a slightly different colourway. And this is one of the absolute beauties of making things yourself, because you have this freedom to choose the colours that you prefer. And I would love to talk in a future episode about altering patterns to suit your own requirements, but I shall try and rein in my enthusiasm just now and stick to the subject. So the body of this backpack was a cream sort of colour, and that's fine because I have literally thousands of grams of weight of a cream Aran yarn that I bought in Aldi. I started buying it at the beginning of the winter, late 2015, and they've still got, in my local one, they've still got the odd 400 gram skein. They are whoppers hanging around, and I must confess, here and there I have picked up, you know, going and buying four or five and spending £25 feels like rather an enormous investment, but picking up the odd one for £5 here or there I can do without causing myself too much of a ripple. So that's a major plank of my stash. I've created a few things out of that. So that was the main background colour. And then for the pattern of a cat face, I used a black yarn in my stash from Tiger. I don't know if you've come across Tiger. We have one in Hereford. To my shame, I can't remember which of the Scandinavian countries it is. It's Norwegian or Danish, something like that. And they have the most wonderful quirky homewares and art things and garden items. And just when I needed a black sort of, well, an Aran really, they had a small skein and it was exactly what I needed. So I happened to have that already. That was left over from a Halloween project that I did. So that was great, but we were left needing what my daughter wanted to be a pink and a blue for the main parts of the cat face. So we searched around a bit and we found this King Cole recycled cotton Aran. So that was ideal. And because it was an Intarsia cat face, I didn't use a great deal of either skein. So I've still got quite a lot. And ironically, I have pink and blue just when I need to knit for a baby. And my thinking isn't that trammelled, but nonetheless, that's handy. That punk rock backpack was quite an undertaking. I'd love to talk about that in a future podcast, perhaps when we're talking about different techniques. The main part of the design was Intarsia, which was a very good disciplinary exercise for me because I'm terrible for cutting corners and thinking that certain things don't matter, and really they do. And underneath the cat face there's a little blue heart, and I was very lazy and I did that as stranded colour work, and I should have done it in Tarsia because it's slightly puckered, only a little bit, but enough that I notice it, and every time I look at it I think, should have done that in Tarsia. Incidentally, any finished project that I mention, my intention is that the finished product will be on Instagram. I'm slightly having some issues with Instagram at the moment, but I'm The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram. On Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting. I used to have a different username. I've recently changed it to chime in with the podcast, so there's all sorts of weird and wonderful odds and ends on there, and I'm not going to go back through and sort of airbrush my existence. It was what it was, excuse me. But what I'm going to do in future is that any projects I talk about, I'm going to treat them all in the same way. So there'll be all sorts of project progress images on Ravelry, but if you just want a quick glance at what the finished project looks like, that will be on Instagram. So the punk rock backpack finished article is on Instagram, and you can see some hair-raising photographs of the Intarsia in progress on Ravelry. So Back to this starfish cloth, I'm using the King Cole Big Value Recycled Cotton Aran, and I'm using 3.5mm needles. They are on the small side for Aran, but this washcloth is one of those where the pattern jumps out at you because it's in pearl, and you really need to make sure that you're getting a contrast between the different styles of stitch. So I'm deliberately using a smaller needle just so that those stitches are really obvious. And by the time I get to the end of the washcloth, I'll be cursing myself for having done that, but I know it's the right thing to do. Incidentally, these thinner needles, now all my thinnest needles are metal. When I first started getting into knitting properly, I tried terribly hard with anything that's a new enthusiasm, and I'm not given to picking up new ideas every 5 minutes at all, but when I do come to something new, I try very hard to resist the temptation to rush out and buy loads of kit. What I really like to do is start along the way and discover for myself what's really going to be indispensable, what, you know, things that make life easier but aren't essential, and then those things that are, for me, completely superfluous. I try very hard to be thrifty, not to be a kit monster, and I've got absolutely no problem at all with things that are second, third or fifth hand. That's really not an issue. So when I first started and I realised that I was going to need needles of a particular width, I didn't want to buy really expensive things. I had a moment of absolute ecstasy in a shop near me that focuses on crafting, but its main role is to, and I know I'm not using the correct terms, and forgive me if this is an area that you have an involvement with, they help to occupy and I presume work on fine motor skills for adults who have a range of physical and developmental impairments. There, I hope I've said that properly. And they're always looking for donations of yarn and needles and fabric and paper and all this, that and the other. And I've been very happy to pass things on in the past. And what went around came around on this occasion, because they had a beautiful set of really quite heavy sort of plasticized metal needles. And they sort of had everything from 3.5mm up to about an 8mm. And I was turning cartwheels with delight, because it cost me about a fiver. But that didn't help me when I needed very small needles for doing socks and things. So because they're cheap, I started off buying bamboo needles for these very, very fine ones. And I bought several from eBay as I came to a new project. And bear in mind, I was starting off by and large with these small projects. I was doing a hat, I was doing socks, I was doing something like that. So you wanted these fine needles. The bamboo had the huge virtue of being cheap. I found a very good, very reliable supplier who had every imaginable combination of width and length of circular and this, that and the other. And I bought several sets, both circulars and sets of DPNs. As when I first started knitting socks, I used DPNs, but then I discovered Magic Loop and I never looked back, but that's a different podcast. But I learned the hard way about using very fine bamboo needles, especially as I've relaxed it now, but initially I had quite a tense knitting style. My hands would be quite tensed. In fact, after the first time I knitted a pair of socks, I quite literally lost the feeling in the middle finger on my right hand for a couple of days, because I was just gripping them so hard and I was manipulating the needles with quite a lot of force, and eventually I don't know my own strength and the needle snapped. This happened with both DPNs and circulars. I mean, I'm talking about needles that were sort of 2mm, 2.5mm, so really the tiny ones. But anyway, that, you know, I'm sure everybody's had an experience where either a needle has simply broken or a circular has come apart. I've certainly had that with non-interchangeables, and funnily enough, actually with interchangeables as well, where the cable has come away from the shank that it sits into. Anyway, I, you know, rapidly realised that if I was going to be using very fine needles, I needed metal. So I'm very fortunate. Last year I was given a beautiful set of Interchangeables by KnitPro, but I still have many of the metal needles. These KnitPros they're a sort of wood, but the metal ones that I was using prior to that, clearly I still have them, and it can be enormously useful to have more than one set of one size. When I started knitting, I couldn't understand why you might want more than one set of a certain diameter of knitting needle. But more than once I found myself in a situation where I've wanted another set of 4 millimetres, another set of 3.5 millimetres. So it's great. You know, I think it's not unreasonable now, after 4 years of, you know, pretty enthusiastic knitting, I have got some duplicate sets, but that's fine because I use them. I think I can justify them. So my current fixed metal 3.5 millimetre circulars are from Higher Higher. I got them from Brobery Yarns, and I've been really, really pleased with the needles. I would have absolutely no hesitation. If I needed more of that sort of thing, I'd have no hesitation in going back both to Brobery Yarns and to Higher Higher needles. So this starfish cloth, I actually, in the end, I was so busy fiddling around with the podcast settings that I didn't actually end up getting to school with enough time in hand to cast on, and since then I've just hurtled from one thing to another. So my son has just gone to bed, and when I finish doing this I am going to sit down and cast on for the baby starfish cloth. That's my starting point. They're quick, they're lovely little projects. I enjoy creating larger things like this infamous cardigan, but there's also a great virtue in these little projects that you can just knock out in an evening or a couple of evenings. They're very satisfying. And as I was talking about in the last podcast, I have this terrible habit. It's not intentional, but I always end up rushing to finish things in time. And I don't know about you, but when I'm knitting for somebody else, I don't ignore little things. You know, occasionally when I'm knitting for myself, if I've slightly fouled something up, I'll just bodge it and it'll be fine and it doesn't matter. But when it's for somebody else, you really feel that, you know, you can't let errors through. And the longer I knit, the more I expect of my ability and the less tolerant I am of leaving in mistakes. This jumper that I, another jumper that I haven't really discussed yet, that I made for my husband earlier this year, I had one of these nightmare cable breaking situations, and we thought we'd fixed it, and then it went again, and I ended up losing stitches, as you do, and I thought I had picked them all up and I thought I'd sorted them out and everything was fine, and now, but inevitably there's a bit of an inconsistency in the knit, and it's right on the front up on the chest. And every time he wears the jumper, my eye just homes in on this like, you know, some kind of homing laser, and it bugs me. So I'm obviously need to make sure that there are no problems on this little cloth. Its intended career is to be wiping all sorts of unmentionable substances off a baby, but nonetheless, I want it to be perfect. So I will have to concentrate. These patterns for these little washcloths, it's continual change, you know, purl so many, knit so many, blah, blah, blah. And if you get it wrong, the pattern simply doesn't look right. So I had hoped today, continuing the theme that I began in the last podcast, to talk about knitting disasters. But, you know, you can have too much of a good thing. And in my next podcast, I hope to tell you all about a jumper I made for my husband for Christmas, which, of course, being me, was made in a great hurtling rush. Finally finished it on literally like the 20th or the 21st of December. All went well, but it had a bit of a checkered career after that. So I will get some photographs up onto my Instagram page if I can sort these problems out. Otherwise, you'll find it on Ravelry. Again, on Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting, because The Ordinary Knitter was, I think, one character too long for a Ravelry username, which is slightly frustrating. So in the next podcast, I'll tell you all about the jumper. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again.